T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, yes, I am completely shocking and upsetting. Anyway, I'm glad you're with us today because it's just a lot of fun. I could sit here and just, you know, talk to myself, but it's more fun to talk to you through the Ingalls Advantage talk line, 1-800-347-1063. 1-800-347-1063. And, of course, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307. 71307. We are 1063 WORD by gum, the Upstate's talk station. We're also at 1063WORD.com. And in the southern part of the Upstate, 101.5 FM in Anderson. So that expands our reach, which is a good thing because, you know, we're always reaching out there and doing what we can here. Let's see here. Oh, we have another limerick alert here. This is, of course, from Alan R. in Spartanburg, who does a great job with limericks. An almost lost art, I think, the limerick. Let's see here. They just had to count noses like no women. Where is it? Oh, the Iowa caucus is done, over, finished in more ways than one. They just had to count noses like Noah or Moses, but they can't even tell us who won. There you go. Fair enough. All right. Anyway, yeah, they had their problems there. The Nevada caucuses, which are a week from tomorrow, they will not be using the same app that was applied in Iowa, which is good. It's good for the participants there too. All right. And then, of course, 2 weeks from tomorrow is the South Carolina primary. An actual primary. You don't have to go huddle in some firehouse or schoolhouse and argue with your neighbors. You just get to go in and cast your ballot. And as I said, I'm going to vote for whoever I think will upset the Dems the most. It's just me voting. Nobody's going to know, but I will, and it'll make me feel better. So anyway, for what it's worth, we pass that along to you today. We are certainly getting at the point now where we're starting to think seriously about just where this all goes. Obviously, the president winning re-election handily. If you didn't catch this, by the way, out of Iowa, the 40 delegates, Republican delegates, and Donald Trump got 39, and William Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts, got one delegate. So he will go to the convention in Charlotte, actually, coming up in August, and he'll have at least a delegate. And I'm sure there'll be a handful more. I mean, he might actually get enough delegates at that convention that they won't have to convene in a phone booth. But they're not going to be doing much of anything else. So, for what it's worth. Other texters here. Jimbo, I'm a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq. Thank you for your service. Steve needs to realize Trump has the interest of troops and vets as a top priority, unlike his predecessor and many in Congress, most of whom also did not serve in uniform. That's true. It's not a trend that I particularly approve of, but that's very true. You look at U.S. presidents, for example, from starting with Harry Truman, presidents who served in uniform consecutively in terms of their presidencies, Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, Carter, Reagan, and H.W. Bush. Since that time, with the presidencies of Clinton, W. Bush, Obama, and Trump, the total time in uniform is the Air National Guard service of W., which is not a trend that I encourage. I would not vote for a candidate strictly because they were a veteran, but it's a factor that I keep in mind. And, of course, fewer and fewer veterans have, I should say politicians have. House members in 1977, 80% of House members had served in the uniformed military. That number, last I checked, was 19% And it was still mostly dropping, although there was a slight bump of a few veterans that have come out of the conflicts in the Middle East and in Afghanistan who have been elected to public office, but not a lot. Same thing in the Senate. It's a factor that I keep in mind, especially if you're running for president. If you are running to be commander-in-chief, and that's about the most important job you have as president, at least having once been in a uniform is helpful in that regard, in my humble opinion. All right, it's 12 minutes now past 4 o'clock as we check in with Jimmy and Easley. Hello there, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimbo.
Yes, sir.
Scott, really got two questions to ask you. I've noticed by reading the article yesterday, they claim the Air Force is allowing people to use their religious turbans and stuff as dress uniform. Is that true?
I had not heard that. That would, I think, be an unfortunate if, in fact, we had that as an official policy. I don't know, honestly, if in fact, let's see here. There has been a follower of the Sikh religion who was granted the right to wear a turban while on active duty in the army. So apparently there have been exceptions. Okay, wait a minute. Here's a policy that apparently this is about 3 years old. Soldiers are being allowed to wear hijabs, turbans, and religious beards, apparently. So I had not been made aware of this. But now these are Sikh soldiers, S-I-K-H. So, yeah, how far they extend that, I don't know. But at least after at least one lawsuit was filed, at least some are allowed to do that, yes, for what it's worth.
I know about the Marine Corps. That's all I know. And I think I know a little bit about the Army. Not that much. There's a uniform code, dress code.
And
I don't know what it's for.
They made an exception for it, obviously.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. And the other thing is, the most thing about a president, I don't care, Democrat, Republican, is he is commander-in-chief. If you tie their hands behind them, Congress would never agree on nothing. My Lord, they had invaded us before they could make a decision. So somehow I don't understand that neither.
I'm not really big on what the Senate is trying to do to tie the president's hands regarding Iran, which, by the way, with whom we are not fighting a war or even a small-time conflict. With Iran, of course, we took out one of their generals in his capacity as a terrorist. But that's it. So, I mean, the Senate's getting their panties in a bunch over nothing, in effect. We're not at war with Iran. We're not going to be at war with Iran. But there was every reason why, certainly, we had to take out this malignant general. So,
there was supposedly a law put on the books after Nixon that you could not go to war. Well, maybe it wasn't Nixon, but you couldn't. A president could go anywhere in the world for 30 days, but after that,
that was the War Powers Act. Yeah, that was the War Powers Act, and I think that's still in effect technically. I'm not sure if that's been put to a vote in recent conflicts, but technically I believe that is the case. All right, got to take a quick break. Thanks for your thoughts, Jimmy, and the time is 4:15 at 106.3.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon. Yeah. Look at there. It's 421 at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station. Jim Bohannon in for Bob McLean this here afternoon. And thank you for being a part of the show, because, heck, without you, I'd just be sitting here talking to myself, my friend. All righty, let's go to Rick in Belton. Hello, Rick. Or not. Do we have Rick in Belton? 2, 3, 4. I guess there's no Rick in Belton. Oh, the phone is being weird. Here we go. Hello, Rick in Belton.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
I'm well, sir. Thank you. Glad we got you on.
Me too. I was a little worried there for a second. I have a question. I came across something in the Drudge Report that said their state's now going to give their electoral votes to the winner of the national popular vote, even if it opposes their voters. That seems like a sneaky little end around on the electoral college. If they can't get rid of it, they're just going to just do this little end around. And I've got a feeling that if they would have done this in 2016, that might have swung the election toward Hillary's.
Well, it would have, absolutely. Hillary won by almost 3 million votes. It would have. The situation is they're not doing it yet. The deal is this national popular vote interstate compact is that the various states are voting, since the Constitution leaves the disposition of electoral votes up to state legislatures. These state legislatures are voting on whether or not they will go along with this. Now, it will not take effect until enough states with a majority of the electoral votes have agreed to it, which would be 270 electoral votes. And so far, you've got states with a total of 196 electoral votes who have agreed to it, and that's a little over a third of all the electoral college, so they're not quite there yet. The legislation pending in a few other states, which I might add South Carolina is one of them. And it will go into effect when a majority of the electoral college is represented by this. Now, then that could be challenged. There are various, you get pretty lawyerly here if you go down to checking out where the Constitution stands on this. Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says no state shall, without the consent of Congress, enter into an agreement or compact with another state. And there are Supreme Court rulings that go back to 1893 and 1978 with various conclusions as to whether or not such a compact is in fact constitutional. But the short answer is that, yes, indeed, Rick, that's the effort that is being made to do that. That's true. And the Constitution does not explicitly forbid that. I mean, by the wording of the Constitution, your state could vote, let's say we vote for Trump over, let's say, Buttigieg, whatever. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that South Carolina can't say, we're casting all of our electoral votes for Charlie Manson or A-Rod or Jennifer Lopez. They can cast it for anybody. There's nothing in there that says you've got to cast it for the winner of anything.
Right. I read it, and I was a little worried about it because this shows the example of why it's so important to go out and vote in your state, local elections, and come out in force and, like, give people rides that can't get a ride to the polls and get everybody there to vote, because this is what we're looking at. This is going to be a very pivotal election in our history.
Yes, it is. We say that every 4 years, but sometimes it's true, and this is one of those times.
Well, I mean, even right. look at the midterms. I mean, who would have thought we would have lost the House?
I would not have thought that myself. Again, the impeachment, of course, of the president and the 31 Democrats who won in 2018 in districts carried by President Trump in 2016, I would say their hold on the House is tenuous. And by the same token, of course, the Republican hold on the Senate. There are 35 Senate seats up this time, 23 Democrats and 23 Republicans, I should say, and 12 Democrats. So Republicans have more seats to defend this time. So it's an iffy proposition, Rick. But yeah, that is what the effort is being made. But it hasn't happened yet. We'll see what happens in the state legislative votes this year.
It's only about 80 electorals away, so, I mean, we really need to, if it comes to fruition, we really need to get out there and vote.
Well, I'll always vote. I'm with you all the way. Let's go to Dave, who is on his cell phone this afternoon. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hey, Jim. How's it going?
Going very well. Thank you.
And I'm not really worried about the 270 thing. I think the Supreme Court will shoot that down rather handily. But that would be my guess. But going back to the reason I called you today, the reason I'm going to cross the line and vote for Bernie Sanders is not only that I believe Trump would have an easier time beating him, but I think it will guarantee a Republican House because, you know, just by a mere chance that that guy could potentially win, I think the Congress would be locked up with Republicans very quickly.
That could very well happen. I'll tell you, Bernie, it remains to be seen if Bernie Sanders will have any coattails whatsoever. He has a dedicated following, but there simply aren't that many people interested in socialism in that many congressional districts. You've got some districts that are extremely hardcore left.
I was going to say, he's got the squad. I think that's about it.
Well, you've got the squad, but, I mean, in AOC's district, I mean, good heavens, that's a far-left district. San Francisco, where Nancy Pelosi runs, that's a far-left district. She has a primary challenge this year from people running to her left who say that Nancy's okay, but she's just a little too conservative. Now, that, my friends, is a liberal district. Same thing with the Jerry Nadler. Why did Jerry Nadler want all of those sound clips of him proving that, in fact, yes, I'm as much of a partisan hack Trump hater as anybody? He's got a challenger. I forget her name now, but she works for the New York State government, and she is challenging Jerry Nadler from the left. Nadler's okay. He's just a little too conservative. And that's why these people are running scared. They're afraid they're going to get AOC'd like Joe Crowley was when Alexandria Ocasio-Braniac beat him. That's why they're running like
that. Did you happen to see the news about Joe Manchin crying the blues about basically saying he could support Trump for president this year?
Yeah, I don't get Joe Manchin. I'll be honest with you. I mean, he doesn't really fit in with any party. He is a little too conservative for Democrats, but he's still too liberal for Republicans. But he has a popular following in West Virginia. I mean, but he's kind of in a strange situation, Manchin. Seriously,
that's past tense, Jim. It's past tense. He had a popular following in West Virginia.
I'm wondering, people
up there are mad as hornets.
Well, I would hope so, because I know that they've had chances to get rid of him before, and that they haven't done it. So,
in my occupation, I talk to people all over the country every day, probably average two or three from West Virginia. And if I feel comfortable, I'll just kind of, you know, drop a teaser in there to see what they say. And I haven't talked to anybody yet who is a fan of Joe Manchin after he cast that vote to impeach Trump. Yeah.
Of course, he doesn't run again until 2022, and people have short memories. Love your call and your listenership. Thank you much, Jimbo, for Bobby Mack at 106.3 in the time now, 4:29. Indeed. Thank you, lovely and talented Ann Robards. Much appreciated there. As Jimbo sits in today for Bobby Mack, and in fact, I like it so much, I'm going to do it again Monday. But Bob will be dragged back in here kicking and screaming on Tuesday the 18th, having set out to, again, try to shatter his own personal best at Pebble Beach for shooting three consecutive rounds under 60 at that particular course. 106.3 WORD is the Upstate's talk station, and we're also at 106.3WORD.com, indeed, and in the southern part of the Upstate, 101.5 FM based in Anderson. When the 106.3 signal starts to get a little wavery heading south, switch over to 101.5 FM. I do that frequently, and it works like a charm. Our Ingalls Advantage talk line is 1-800-347-1063, 1-800-347-1063, and the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 71307, 71307. Misspoke about Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia. He took over the last two terms of Robert Byrd's Senate seat when Byrd died, and so he was elected in 2012 to a full term, reelected in 2018 to a full term, and so Manchin, regarding impeachment, voters there won't get a shot at Manchin until 2024. So, again, we'll see how long the memories are of the people who live in West Virginia. But, yeah, I dare say that if he were up this year, I think that Joe Manchin would be in highly endangered territory, if you ask me. And nobody did. But, hey, I'm running the show today, and therefore I'll say it myself. Okay, here, this is something to consider. The president currently has a Gallup approval rating at 49%. That's the high for his presidency. Even more stunning is that 63% of Americans now approve of the way the president is handling the economy, which is, by the way, the highest economic approval rating for any president in almost two decades. Well, why not? This economy is humming right along. Makes a lot of sense. However, the gap between his economic approval and his personal approval is 14 points, which means there are millions of Americans who approve of the president's policies but don't approve of him. His job between now and November is to win some of them over. And I think that's doable. Now, the president, of course, has spent a lot of time feeding his base, and that's understandable. He's been besieged and beleaguered. And it's certainly not hard to understand why he would feel more comfortable. But in a few minutes here, I want to get into some of the things that the president could do now to nail the last nails in the coffin of a Democratic presidential nominee. There are people out there who are gettable, and he could expand that base. Anyway, right now, at 20 minutes before 5, David calls in. Good afternoon, David. Or do we not have David? I could have sworn we did have David.
Oh, you still got David.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Then in that case, you're on the radio. What's on your mind?
Okay. I'm trying to decide, since Mr. Barr is in the position he is, and being able to basically not put these people in jail like Comey, Brennan,
Well, that hasn't been decided yet. I mean, I don't know that he's not in a position to. I mean, I think yes, that sir. There are certainly violations of the law that involve certainly Comey. We'll see.
Yes, sir.
I don't think we've decided yet, but that's still up in the air, okay, as far as I know.
Well, the only thing I can think of, because, you know, they're part of the deep state, and I think there should be a Justice League that sets outside for all these people, like Clinton, all the people that pulled the Russian hoax, the Ukraine stuff. I believe those people, if our government is not going to charge them and put them in prison, I believe there should be a Justice League that will uphold the law and take those people someplace and put them away.
Are you suggesting
really
a band of vigilantes?
If you want to call it that, yes.
Well, I'm afraid I'd have to call it that.
Right now.
I'm afraid I'd have to call it that. I don't know what else you'd call it. I mean, you know, why don't we just bring a noose along? We can make a necktie party out of it.
Well, you know, that's what's going on right now in Congress. The senators and the House and all those people, they've got the American people trapped. And like you said, people forget. So those people are going to continue to stay in office that are going to continue to take care of each other.
Well, you can only stay in office as long as you get voted into office. And unfortunately, a lot of these people have constituencies that approve of what they're doing. Let's not forget that the morning after Nancy Pelosi tore up the president's State of the Union address, she walked into the Democratic caucus to a standing ovation. It's not as though, you know, she did something that is going to forever condemn her to disapproval. No. The people on the left thought it was wonderful.
Well, yes, I can understand that, the way they see things. But I still believe the justice system needs to ring true. Those people need to go to jail. Because, you know, if I did something like that or you did something like that, we'd be in jail.
It depends on what the something is. I mean, for example, the investigation, the whole impeachment process. Let's look at that against the president. Okay, highly partisan.
Yes.
Unfair. Yes. Constitutional. Yes. The Constitution leaves impeachment entirely up to the House, and the Senate trial entirely up to the Senate. I mean, you noted a lack of due process. Yes, and the Constitution does not guarantee due process. Personally, I would like to see the Constitution amended on the portions dealing with impeachment to assure that any president, even one on the left, would have to be impeached with something that is close to the due process that you get in a courtroom. But I'm not sure. I think Adam Schiff and company, Jerry Nadler and the like, they were extremely unfair. But I can't think of a thing that they did that was unconstitutional. And in terms of illegal, I mean, other than lying about his connection with the whistleblower, I'm not sure what Adam Schiff did that was illegal. It was just highly partisan. And I would love to see his constituents vote him out, but that ain't going to happen.
No, those people are too deep. And
well, I mean, they've got an electorate in their district that like them.
Yes, sir.
You know, but I mean, this Justice League. I mean, you're talking about something outside the wheels of the justice system. You're talking about just an extra legal group that got together. Boy, I mean, like I said, vigilantes, and as long as you're going to go that far, you might as well bring along a rope and hang them. I can't go with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, the only thing, the Constitution, once your government is not working for you and working against you, gives you the authority to overthrow that government. And
are you suggesting we throw out the Constitution? I mean,
no, I think we should abide by it.
Well, I'd like to see us abide by it too. But I mean, that's why I guess I'm kind of opposed to the notion of shall we say selectively using it. And I share your frustration, David, but I'm afraid I couldn't go that far down the road there. Appreciate your thoughts and your listenership very much, sir. 106.3 WORD is the Upstate's talk station. Jim Bohannon for Bob McLean today and Monday. Happy Valentine's Day. Our time now, 15 before 5. We got you covered here, my friend, Jimbo for Bobby Mac today and Monday, just because I felt like doing it here. We've locked the door, and Bob can't get in until Tuesday. It's 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, where the time now is 9 minutes before 5 p.m. Todd is in Fountain Inn this afternoon. Hello, Todd.
Jimbo, how are you doing today,
sir? I'm well, sir. Thank you. Very well.
Hey, before we get to the topic, I was just thinking between you and Bob, we could call the show the Jim Bob Show. We're in the South a little bit.
No, it's the Bobby Mac Show. I just fill in when he's out there practicing that golf game of his. Very good.
The last caller. Now, I'm not up for the lynch mob, right?
But I share his frustration, but no, neither am I.
Taking legal action, I mean, could a standard civilian, say, like myself or you or one of us, take legal action against, like, the Clintons, McCabe, Comey, Brennan? I mean, you know, could we do that?
Well, you could file a civil suit, I suppose, and then the courts would get involved as to whether you have standing, quote-unquote. That's about all you could do. I mean, what else could you do?
I don't know. I was like, I wonder if you could, and, you know, somebody hold them accountable. I'd like them held accountable,
but it's pretty much up to the Justice Department to do that, and so far we've not seen much in that regard. The fact is she played fast and loose with security laws and got away with it because she's a Clinton, and for the life of me, I am unable to understand that. I'll guarantee you, had it been a poor enlisted man like I was in Vietnam, who I had a higher-than-top-secret clearance, if I'd done a tenth of what she did, I would have gone to Fort Leavenworth. But my name wasn't Clinton.
Yep.
Now, I grant you, and I share the frustration, but other than filing a lawsuit that would cost you a ton of money and probably go nowhere, I don't know what an individual can do. You can certainly write the White House, urge the president to urge the attorney general to pursue this matter further. I mean, that doesn't sound like much of an answer, and in truth, it's not, but that's about it.
Well, if you did that and the president did urge, then the Democrats would come up saying that, you know, the president is meddling in it, blah, 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 let's impeach him.
Let's not forget, of course, that the Justice Department reports to the president. I mean, it's part of the executive branch.
Right. And I'm one of the ones that understand, you know, how do I put it? I understand, most of the president or a lot of the president's rights and, you know, the stuff that he has and can see through the BS that the Democrats are throwing out there going, he's overstepping his boundaries. Like, he ain't even got near the line yet, people.
Well,
what are you talking about?
I'll put it this way. I don't think it was the smartest thing that he could do. He should have been able to see this coming, that the Democrats, what he should have done, very honestly, is not to tweet it. He should have simply called in Barr and said, just between you and me, don't you think they're kind of dumping on Roger Stone because of me? That sentencing recommendation, while within the federal guidelines, is way overboard. Now, that's what he should have done. But, of course, his thumbs have a mind of their own. He couldn't stop tweeting it. And now the Democrats, of course, you heard Nancy say that the magic words, abuse of power. I swear to goodness she'd do it again. She'd impeach him tomorrow, I think. I really do. Weird.
Oh, she's going to try. She said that, I was like, this is the route they're going to go. And I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I approve of most of the stuff Trump does, but this tweeting is like, dude,
well,
stop.
Just make a phone call before. You're sounding like a bully. I mean, seriously, he just needs to think a little bit. He needs to ask an aide, what do you think about this tweet? And then listen to what the advice is. That's all. I mean, the Twitter is a wonderful tool, but it just needs to be thought through a little bit. I think you're right, Todd. I'm going to see if we can squeeze in a call here from Jim in Simpsonville before we pause for the news on the hour. So let's go to Jim, and good afternoon, Jim. What is on your mind today? Oh, Jim in Simpsonville.
Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Hey,
you're on the radio.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just got off of work, so I've just joined in. You may have touched on this earlier, but I read something online earlier today that Virginia is passing a law to give all of their electoral votes to the popular vote. Is this true, and is this legal?
Those are two very good questions. First of all, there is a compact of states, and there's an effort underway to get, since the Constitution says that the state legislatures determine how electoral votes are cast, they don't have to cast to the winner. They could cast them all, as I said earlier, to A-Rod or J-Lo. It doesn't matter. It's up to the state legislatures. This interstate compact for the popular vote is that when states totaling a majority of the popular vote, that is to say 270 electoral votes, and they're at 196 now, when that happens, then those states have agreed that they are going to cast their votes for the winner of the popular vote, regardless of who carried their individual state. Now, most of the states that have passed this are states in which the Democrats were going to carry that state. Anyway, for in the state of Virginia, the House of Delegates has passed the legislation. It now goes to the Senate, also controlled by the Democrats in Virginia, and they're almost certain to pass it as well, which would then add Virginia to the total. So, Virginia's halfway to joining that.
Yeah, that's sad. It just seems like, to me, it just eliminates the purpose of the Electoral College.
Well, that's the point of it, is to eliminate the purpose of the – that's the point of it all. Now, the legality you mentioned, there are various – there is a clause in the Constitution that Article 1, Section 10, that prohibits such state compacts in most instances except when approved by Congress. However, there have been various court rulings, and here you get into lawyer land. You get into an 1893 ruling. There was a 1978 ruling, a 1981 ruling, and I'm just not competent to go into that. The point is that it would undoubtedly go to the Supreme Court, and at this juncture, I'm not a lawyer, so I can't tell you how it would come out. But that there would be such a battle fought. But I'd say there's a distinct possibility that you're going to see this National Popular Vote Compact will try to be enacted, and then it'll be a court fight, and then we'll see. I mean, you never know. We could reach the point where in the end of this year, we might not know who is going to be president. You never know. All right, stay with us. More to come. Jimbo for Bobby Mack at 106.3 WORD, the Upstate's talk station, my friend. Happy Valentine's Day. The time is 3 before 5.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.